Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. Welcome to hour number two on a Friday. And listen, I'm glad to go to the phones here momentarily. We're going to be bringing on Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, who is, of course, the Lieutenant Governor of our state right now and has served ably there for several years. Prior to that, he served in the Alabama House of Representatives. He's also a businessman. He and his family hail from Northeast Alabama up in the Gunnersville area. And he is on the line with us right now. Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. Will, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. It's good to have you on. Thank you for making time.
Yeah, I almost called you Senator Williams, which I guess you technically are, Senator Williams. But always great to be on the show. Appreciate everything you do on the radio and for the conservative movement.
Well, thank you very much for that. Hey, listen, I've been spending the last 20 or 30 minutes talking about workforce development and you know, measuring our labor force participation versus our unemployment rate, how it all figures. Alabama looks good in some ways, not so good in others, and you can never sit idle on what it means to develop and grow your workforce. Talk to us about your workforce commission that you've chaired over the past year or two, and then the bill package that came out that's almost through right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you look at, you know, things we need to change in our state, workforce development certainly at the top of the list, in my opinion. And the reason why, that comes from industry. And over again, I hear the number one limiting factor to growth with industry is people. And people literally are begging me, Will, if you can help me get more people trained, I can grow my business. And so, you know, with that, we've really dialed in on what can we do to get people trained. And so we had a bipartisan workforce development commission, and we had kind of four different recommendations that came from that. Do you want me to kind of go over those with you?
Yeah,
or how
absolutely.
Do you want to do that?
No, go ahead and run with it, because I've got the workforce bill, 7 bill package. I know part of that, though, was actually came out of your commission with 4 bills, I think you said.
That's right. Yeah, 4 of the bills came from us. And so the first one was, you know, really, we felt like we needed one person to be in charge of workforce in the state, have a cabinet level position. But, you know, as Republicans, we don't want to grow government. So what we did, we're turning the Department of Labor into the Department of Workforce Development. We're going to have a new position in that office that will now be over workforce and labor, but this person's going to understand K-12, higher ed, you know, you think about community colleges, you know, right there in Gadsden, kind of what they do all over the state, federal WIOA funds, Office of Apprenticeship, but basically one person that's going to do that. Then we're going to have a 40-member industry board on that that's going to help drive the conversation, help, you know, actually analyze how is education doing at training people for the workforce and all different levels. And we think that's going to be a game changer, because now you're having industry buy-in instead of, you know, I mean, you know how it is. You go ask them, hey, how are you doing? Oh, we're doing great, you know, all that. Well, we want to really evaluate. And we're actually going to, for the first time in our state's history, out of that group, have a statewide workforce development plan. So we're excited about that. The next bill, so that bill's already passed. And, you know, House and Senate, and, you know, at the governor's office get signed.
Right.
All right, next bill that I think is going to be wonderful and is going to be a career pathways diploma.
Yeah,
so
I love
if you're a student
one.
Out there, yeah, I think it's great. I mean, it's just common sense. And if you're a student out there and you decide you want to, you know, learn a trade or a skill, instead of spending more time in the classroom, in particular your junior and senior year, you take 2 less math and sciences, and instead of being in Algebra 2 or trig or whatever it is, right, you're going to be in actually learning a skill. And, you know, I'm in the construction business outside of being lieutenant governor, and I can tell you, you know, carpenters, electricians, plumbers, you know, guys doing concrete, like, I don't care what they made on their ACT. I don't care if they had Algebra 2 or, you know, but what I do care about is, do they know how to do that skill and do it well? And that's kind of what this diploma is going to allow people to do. So I think it's going to be a game changer.
Well, so it's interesting you say that, because when I was still in the Senate, one of my bills, I chaired FRED, which is the Committee on Fiscal Responsibility Economic Development. And one of my bills was a dual enrollment bill that allowed kids to dual enroll in a 2-year college for a tech degree while they were still in high school. But this is like an advanced version of that. This is like a step further. This is giving them a chance to even sort of almost like have a major, so to speak, in high school, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, so they can actually, you know, get credentials. And then part of that too, there's even a part of it where we're going to provide $4,500 for students that want to do dual enrollment to get credentials with community colleges. And the goal is just simple. We want a kid, when they graduate high school, to be career ready, which means, hey, you can go right into a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the focus was all about college, and we got it wrong. And, you know, when you got half your state that's not going to a 2 or 4 year college, why in the world is all the education geared towards getting everybody ready for college?
That's a great point. Plus, the trades are hurting right now. We need people qualified for the trades, and they come in with that journeyman
status. And, I mean,
status.
The amount of money they make.
Oh, my gosh.
Too, right?
Like, why'd I go to law school? I mean, know.
I mean, it's impressive. So, all right, third bill, you brought up the child care tax credit.
Yeah.
I know y'all been talking about that. You know, we think that's got a good shot at, you know, passing. And, you know, it's been passed in the House. It's in the Senate. That's going to travel with the education budget, as well as the housing tax credit bill. But both of those, you know, we think are going to do things, which is get people off the sidelines into the workforce. And we realize that, you know, certainly, you know, from a child care standpoint, I mean, every time I talk about this, you know, people are clapping and, you know, think this is a great idea. But I mean, child care is really expensive.
Yeah,
you know, if you've got 2 or 3 kids, it's tough. And, you know, what we're doing, we're going to give the business a tax credit where they can pay for it for their employees. And then that's one less expense the families have to have. But what we're hoping happens is this gets people back to working where they're, you know, having to maybe not, they can't just afford to do it because this is after tax money. You're having to pay for child care. And so we're really, I think that's, I feel very good. That's going to pass. And then the housing tax credit's a Reagan era program. And we're just trying to expand that. And the idea in that program is where you go in and instead of have a government housing where you don't have to have a job, in this program for the house, it's for multifamily properties, so, you know, apartment complexes.
Right.
But if you, so the developer gets the tax credit or sells them off. And then in exchange for that, they have to do reduced rent rate. But to qualify, you have to have a job. And so, and you got to be within a certain salary matrix. So the idea is that, you know, President Reagan said, hey, I mean, you know, let's get people off of government housing and actually get them, you know, working for themselves. And we realize that you always hear about the benefits cliff, right? Like if you get off government dependence, it's the benefits cliff because they're used to getting all these benefits. Well, housing and child care are two of the biggest ones. And so if we can help people with both of those, we think we can get a lot of people back in the workforce. And then eventually, you know, these people will own their own home and be productive members of society and, you know, off of government dependence, which is a win.
Well, it's very cool. And I love it when you switch people off of the government, you know, dime onto a private sector issue, but you incentivize the private sector to do it. That's the partnership right there. And I saw, by the way, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but the child care tax credit bill made national news. Newsweek ran a story on it yesterday. And it had a quote in there that I thought was significant. It said that studies have indicated that every time you see a 10% increase in the cost of childcare, it's associated with a 1% drop in the employment of women. So, I mean, you're looking at women dropping out of the, I mean, with, as these, everything's more expensive these days, Bidenomics being what it is, everything, even childcare is more expensive. But you're like, you're right. It drives people away from the ability to be productive because their first priority is still their family, and it should be.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. So, I mean, I think when you look at that, you know, child care is, you know, a child care tax credit's pro family. It's going to help families that want to do that. Like, for instance, in my own life, you know, we had twins, and then 20 months later, we had a daughter. So my wife had to quit teaching pre-K because, I mean, we had 3 kids that were under 2. Just the cost for childcare versus what she made as a pre-K teacher, I mean, we've been losing money.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think with that, it'd been nice to, you know, for them to go to the same pre-K place she went. But anyway, so that's what we chose to do for our family. But a lot of people, you know, they require 2 incomes just to get by and to pay their bills. And, you know, that's just the reality because of, you know, Biden's economy is so expensive to live now because of inflation. And so anything we can do to help people, I'm all for. And certainly for all, anything we can do to help, you know, pro-family policies like this, I think, is a win.
Well, and I guess, you know, closing comments here, but I guess, too, you have to look at it is a lot of folks don't realize the state of Alabama competes with 49 other states for jobs. There's a finite number of employers out there. They don't all spring up from within. Sometimes they move here from outside, and you want them to want to come here and bring their jobs. And by doing that, you've got to also have a workforce that they can take part with or partner with when they get here.
And that's a great point. And I mean, you're spot on there, right? I mean, we're competing for companies locating here, and to have policies like this, it's going to be favorable for them to locate here. Companies that are expanding, I mean, they're real excited about this because now they can, you know, potentially recruit people from outside the state to move here or get people off the sidelines. And to your point, I think there's like 34 states that have already done something like this. So we should have done this years ago.
Well, hey, final question before you go. We got about a minute left. The unionization effort by the United Auto Workers, they've got a vote coming up at the Mercedes plant. They're attempting to get a vote at the Hyundai plant. And they just co-opted the employees of the Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga. Your thoughts on where they're headed on unionization right now?
Yeah, I can tell you, I mean, growing up in Corporation Progress Rail, that, you know, unions equal higher cost, right? And usually not better benefits, you know, for the union members. And so, you know, I think unions are a mistake. I think part of what makes Alabama great is being a right-to-work state. And the fact that, you know, all these automobile companies located here because we don't have unions, which are just going to drive up cost. And, you know, so, you know, my message to, you know, everybody working at those auto plants is, you know, make sure you keep, you know, help Alabama stay great from a competitive standpoint. And these companies are going to take care of you. They already have, you know, unions are just, you know, out to destroy companies, raise cost. And, you know, if you look at the history, you know, it's not a sustainable model. I mean, and so, you know, I hope we're able to beat that in Alabama because, I mean, I've seen it firsthand, you know, with Progress Rail and the railroad industry, you know, states where, you know, there weren't unions, you know, the businesses were profitable. And what happened is, you know, other states you weren't as profitable. What happened is, you know, companies leave, yeah. Right? I mean, so that's the real threat. You can say, oh, we want a union. Well, when the company leaves here and goes to another state, you know, don't complaining to us if you don't have a job. I mean, that's literally... You know, what's happened is part of the reason we've been so successful in the automotive industry. So, I hope that they push back on that and that Alabama workers are smarter than that.
Well, I hope so, too. We've survived several attempts in the past to unionize other plants in the state. But in the meantime, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, we appreciate your time today and keep us posted. If you see any hitches passing those last two bills of the package, you let us know. All right.
Hey, absolutely. Always great to be on. Thanks for what you do.
All right. Thank you. Take care. All right. We're going to take a break right now. I ran long on purpose because I wanted to get as much out of that time as I could. But Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth laying it on there about, the efforts to make Alabama a workforce state. It's what brings the jobs. It's not the unions that bring the jobs. It's the state incentives and the environment that we create and the business climate that's here. That's what brings the jobs. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.